Good evening, Jim. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Brad?
Doing all right. It's Friday night, and we have no Brian. He is visiting his parents in Mississippi.
You know, he's happy to be in Mississippi instead of being in Atlanta.
Yep, that's why he moved away. So what's going on with you this week?
Not too much. Been home in Dallas this week. It's been a nice week. I did some traveling last weekend to New Orleans for a fantasy football draft with some old college buddies. Came home. Just been working this week, walking around Dallas a lot, hunting Pokemon and working during the day. It's been pretty much my week.
It's nice to have a week off from traveling.
Very much. And I'm actually not traveling next week as well because of the holiday. It's a short week, so we don't have to travel. So I'm excited for to be home, to be able to watch the Apple festivities for next week.
Very cool. So what's happening in the news this week?
Most of the buildup right now is around the iPhone 7 introductions for next week. But I think the big Apple news for the week was the EU coming out and saying that Apple has to repay Ireland 13 billion euros for missed taxes, or, you know, they didn't pay enough taxes, something like that. I mean, 13 billion to me is obviously a tremendous amount, to any person is a tremendous amount of money. But is $13 billion a lot of money to Apple? What do you think?
Well, we know that Apple has a big surplus of dollars in the bank, $200 million or so, but $13 billion or what do they say? It's like $14.5 million American dollars, U.S. dollars. I mean, that's, you know, maybe 5.5% of what they have in the bank. So it's still a lot of money. I mean, even if it is Apple, it's still a lot of cash.
Yeah, I mean, and Tim Cook immediately came out and defended Apple and said, you know, we're going to fight this ruling that, you know, this is not the case, that we've got records showing the taxes that we paid and the profits that those taxes were paid on. And, you know, all those, the financial documents, you know, he says they're in order, and it, you know, makes him mad. At least the story I read, you know, you can check the show notes. You know, he's like, we're mad because we're trying to follow everything to the letter of the law. And now they've come back and said, we're not, and we're going to fight this and defend Apple.
Well, the EU controls, I think, 28 countries, and they kind of control all of the commerce and the taxes and everything for all those countries, or they try to. And they just, you know, they're trying to get more money. And there was actually another story I read somewhere else that says they're trying to increase the tax rate for all of the countries. So maybe they uncovered some old documents, or thinking maybe they could kind of bulldoze Ireland, or even, you know, an American company.
Well, I mean, if you think back, say 20 years, the EU, I guess, I don't know if it was the EU or European Commission or who it was really hard on Microsoft with Windows. And they came down on Microsoft much harder than any kind of antitrust in the United States. And then it was also the EU or European Commission, whichever one of those it is, that over the last couple of years has come down hard on Google for the same type violations. Now, this is not the same exact thing as far as antitrust versus taxes.
Paying taxes.
But it seems like, you know, that Europe is takes a much finer tooth comb to some of these things than we do here in this country, where the business environment, the corporate environment over the last 20, 25 years has gotten really cozy with politics.
Yeah, there was the company that makes the EpiPens. This is just another example of, I guess you'd call it a tax haven, but the people who make the EpiPens, they're a US-based company, but they just moved their headquarters to the Netherlands. And that was because the Netherlands has way different tax laws than we do, and they're basically using it as a tax haven. But the thing that they have a patent on is not the medicine, the epinephrine. It's in the injection mechanism. And, you know, you could go and make your own injection mechanism because the medicine is generic. But, you know, basically they could come sue you because they have the U.S. patent, even though now they are considered to be a European country, which is kind of strange and conflicting.
Yeah, I read some of the stories on that. That popped up on the headlines some last week when I was in St. Louis. And that company got dragged through the mud pretty good. And it looked like most of it was deserved with just the rate hikes over the last couple of years. And then I see they tried to blame the regulatory community here, the, you know, the insurance and that medical community in the United States for the changes. And I didn't buy that for a second. And now the CEO was supposedly in pockets with some senator or maybe it was her dad was a senator, something like that. I'm going to mess up the story, but yeah, that was just a craziness.
A 20-fold rate increase is just, you know, insanity. You could still make a good profit and not have to charge, you know, 20 times what you were charging just a year ago.
Right. I mean, this is, you know, a medicine delivery device. We're not talking about Adele tickets here. You know, we shouldn't have that big a price increase. So,
all right. So on to the next thing. So we got the iPhone 7 announcement next week. Are you excited?
I am very excited. I cannot wait. I'm so ready for a new phone. Mine, even though it's only a year old, I have a 6S. I am so ready. I want the new battery. The GPS drift, for whatever reason, in my phone is bad. My 6S, I haven't been as happy with. I mean, I love my iPhone, but my 6S, I haven't been as happy with. When I got mine last year, the start button, or call it the start button, the home button had some issues with it. So I immediately brought it back and I got a refurb at the Apple Store right after they came out. So my thinking was, you know, this phone may not be quite up to speed to put in a new box or something. But this phone has just been weird all year long as far as just having some radio issues or just battery issues, just weird little things. Nothing that I could actually go to the...
You didn't feel like it warranted a trip to the Apple Store?
Right. It was so many... It was just little things that in my mind just added up to you know, the just big frustration. But it wasn't anything that I could just go to the Genius Bar and say, hey, this exact problem is happening, and then actually reproduce it in front of them. It was just, it was something that it kind of comes and goes. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon, and the GPS drift on my phone is really bad. I can be standing in one spot and move around from block to block with Wi-Fi on, with Wi-Fi off. It really doesn't matter. The only advantage to that is that I'm breaking a lot of eggs with my phone just sitting around. But still, it's, you know, that kind of thing. My signal is not great in a lot of places where I think it should be better. So that's the other reason I'm kind of excited about the iPhone 7s, is I'm pretty sure I'm going to switch to Verizon this year. I've always been an AT&T customer with iPhones back all the way to the 3G was the first one I got. So I'm pretty excited for the new phone and moving over to Verizon. What about yourself? Are you upgrading this year?
I don't think we are. You know, my wife and I both have phones on the AT&T Next plan, and I'm not sure what I'm really tied to as far as if I try to get out of what I have right now and move into the next thing, because I'm only 12 months into what's supposed to be a 30-month plan. So I don't really know how that would work. I may have to. What I've been doing lately was upgrading every 2 years to the new S. So I would go 5S, 6S. You know, I may wait until the 8 or 8S comes out. Who knows? Whatever 30 months turns into.
Right. So we'll get the 7 this year. So that means, I guess, the 7S would be next year. So we can talk about some of the, you know, the rumors that are out there for the version 7. I guess the first big thing that you would have to consider when a new model is coming out is, you know, is the design of the phone is going to change. And from what I've read, the basic design, the shell kind of the phone, is actually not changing that much. Any thoughts on that?
Well, there's rumors that the battery would be better. So that kind of makes me wonder if they were going to change the size of it, because if they're going to make the battery, I guess if you change the chemical makeup or even the shape of the battery, you could make the phone the same size, you know, because you make your radios and chipsets smaller each coming year just because of Moore's law. And so that gives you more room inside of the device for a larger battery, if that's what it required when they say better battery.
Right. I mean, while I do think that the current design is a work of art, it's not exactly the best thing to use day to day and hold in your hand. I had that case with the corner nipples on it for a while, so I was carrying it around basically without a case. And while it felt good just standing still in my hand, I didn't trust myself walking around holding the phone, especially as much as I'm walking around now with it in my hand. So, you know, I kind of like the squared off edges of the 5 a little better than this 6 shape. And so I was hoping that something like that would come back, or, you know, maybe if it's actually a little bit thinner, it may be easier to grip as far as that goes.
The way it lays in your palm.
Right. You know, so if it kind of grabs, you know, onto your fingers as you curl your hands around it. So some of the other rumors that are out there, that we might get two new colors this year, a space blue, which is kind of a blue metallic color, which I think would be kind of neat. I like blue. And also a piano Cappuccino Black, which would be a, you know, a very dark, shiny black case, which I don't really see Apple doing that, but I think that would be kind of neat. And then, you know, along those lines with the design, you know, now that we already have gold and silver. So, you know, some new colors might spice it up a bit if they're not going to change the actual shape of the phone.
I think the blue is really exciting. I'm definitely a blue guy. It's unfortunate that almost every button-up short-sleeve shirt I have is probably blue plaid. I wear a lot of blue. My little rubber watch is blue, and my titanium headphones are blue. It's kind of ridiculous. So I could really get excited about a blue iPhone.
That's pretty funny. So like you work for yourself, so you wear all that blue. It's almost like your uniform for work. Blue plaid.
I really try not to do that. I'll put on blue shoes and I'll think, well, I'd need to not wear the blue watch today.
So some of the other rumors, possibly getting more RAM. I don't know if that's necessarily a rumor or just wishful thinking. Every year, that's just something that everybody hopes for, is that we're going to get a little bit more RAM in the iPhones. It was at 1 gig for so long, and then they finally bumped it to 2. Earlier this year, there were some issues with the Plus model dropping some frame rates, and some people were blaming RAM on that, you know, that's supposedly gotten better with some of the patches. But, you know, maybe the Plus model will be differentiated more besides size and camera, and actually maybe get a little bit more RAM. And also the possibility of a 256 gig iPhone model, which I thought 128 was a little much, and I filled it up mostly with music. I can't see wanting to get a 256 gig phone myself.
I have a 128, and it probably stays half full from music. I probably never have more than 600 or 700 photos on my phone, just because it gets backed up regularly and the photos get wiped out and uploaded to some cloud service. But I've always got a ton of music on it, so I'm never without offline music. I'm not sure if I could use 256, but having it there would be nice, because I could actually do more offline movies. I do like to watch movies when I'm got some dead time and you're tired of playing Star Wars or something on your phone. You need some sort of other distraction if you're sitting in a waiting room or whatever.
No, I got you there. I mean, having more room is always a positive. For me, I think mine stays about 90 is about as much as it's gotten up to. I think if 128 stays at the same price point as it is now, and then they had another price point that was another 50 or 100 more for the 256, my guess would be 100 more. I probably wouldn't go there yet, that I would stay with the 128, just because that seems to work for me.
And you haven't hit your ceiling yet.
Right, I haven't even hit the 128 yet, and I also have an iPad Pro that I carry around that's a 128, so I can put movies on there, and I would rather watch movies on there. So between those two, I think, I think 128 on both is plenty. The next rumor, and I don't even consider this a rumor anymore because it's been talked about so much, is the removal of the headphone jack. And while this worries me because I'm a big headphone guy and I have a lot of money invested in nice headphones that have, you know, what are they, 1/4 inch headphone jacks, you know, plugs on them, this was bound to come, and so Apple's finally going to push it. And I think they even might have leaked it a year ago to give us this much lead time to kind of get used to the idea that this is going to happen, instead of just coming out on stage and saying your headphone jack's gone. You know, by leaking it out a year ago, just like I just said, we all kind of just assumed that, okay, this is going to happen.
Maybe it won't be so much of a shock and surprise.
Right. I mean, it's almost like accepted now. So that's where I was thinking is,
I don't have any problem with it. I only use Bluetooth headphones when I'm connected to my phone. I still use wired headphones, like right now when we're doing the podcast, just because of latency issues. But, you know, when you're talking on the phone using your Bluetooth headset, latency is not really a problem because it's sort of half duplex anyway. You talk and then I talk and then you talk and then I talk. And then with streaming music, I guess enough of it has buffered up in the Bluetooth stream that you don't have to worry about latency. You know, you notice if you kick off your music and you'll see it tick off 1 or 2 seconds before you actually start to hear it in your Bluetooth headphones. But that's not a big deal to me. But I can see where someone like you, who is a headphone aficionado, and you know, you love your wired headphones, and it's kind of like killing off a network protocol. You know, once you have that protocol in place and it's been distributed all over the world through, you know, servers and whatnot, it's hard to kill something off like that. And the same goes, the same is true with your mini jack on your headphones. I mean, 40 years ago, you had the quarter inch jack like on the guitar plug, but now it's the mini jack, but it's still the same tip and ring. You know, it's still the same concept, you know, a plus and a minus basically that passes it through the electronic device.
Yep. I mean, it's, you know, it's very, very old technology, and I get that. I actually have a set of Bluetooth on-ear headphones that I've been using when walking around downtown some, so I just don't have the wire between my phone. And I have some wired earbuds, some nice Sony earbuds, and I kind of swap out between those. If it's really hot outside, I'll go with the earbuds just because the on-ears get kind of hot outside. But if I'm walking around at night, sometimes I'll wear the on-ears. So I think my biggest question is not necessarily are they going to remove the plug, but if they remove the plug, are they going to give us Bluetooth headphones? Are they going to say, you're basically on your own, go pick out whatever Bluetooth headphones you're on and you're paying for them, and we're not going to give you headphones anymore, even though, you know, we've thrown in these, you know, this $5 set of plastic headphones since the original iPhone.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
You know, so what are they going to, you know, what is their play here? And I can almost tell you that there'll be stories, even though we all know it's going to happen and we've been talking about it for almost a year, there'll be stories that afternoon that it's Apple is trying to make people go buy headphones because they own Beats now and they want to make money. And the only reason they removed the headphone jack is so they can sell more Beats headphones for $200 in the stores, you know, because all the kids want the Beats headphones. And, you know, I can see the stories now. They will be written. Wait until the next episode of the podcast and we'll put one in the show notes because I bet you I can find that story somewhere.
I guess your Apple conspiracy theorists would say that, but I just don't think that's true. You know, in that scope, what I think is really great is they're going to clear off the bottom of that phone and maybe give us stereo speakers on the bottom of the phone, which is awesome. You've seen Android phones, whatever brand, LG or whoever, has had stereo phones for a while. It may be more of a phablet than a phone, but either way. And then you've got the awesome sound on the new iPad Pro with the four speakers. I think the headphone jack going away, mainly because of just progression in technology and possibly just speculation of a second speaker on the bottom of the phone, it's long overdue.
I hadn't thought about that with the stereo speakers on the phone. I think that would be really nice for, I use my phone a lot for conference calls and turn on the speaker, not necessarily for the quality, but just, well, not because, you know, like music quality, but just clarity of the speakers while on a conference call. And it could be that maybe we're going to get a better microphone as well. I think you and Brian talked about that a little bit last week about how the mic in the iPhone really hasn't seen upgrades like a lot of the rest of it has. So maybe, you know, with the little extra space they're going to have, maybe we get the speakers, like you said, or maybe we get an extra microphone or, you know, a better microphone, or both would be really nice for those of us that that use their phones as a conference call device as well.
Well, being in the tech industry, you and me both, I know I use mine as a speakerphone a lot. So that would be a welcome addition.
That would be be real nice. I think it would be really good of Apple to throw us a bone. If they're going to take our headphone jacks, then we need something, some sort of plus, you know, basically give us a reason why you're doing this besides thickness, because the phone, even though I said earlier it'd be easier to hold maybe if it was thinner, the phone doesn't need to be any thinner. It's already thin enough. I would much rather have battery than it be any thinner. Some of the other rumors that have been talked about so far is more waterproofing of the phone, which I know some of the other makers, Samsung has done some of that, and they like to tout that on the commercials that, you know, that their phones are more waterproof. To me, that's great if they make it more waterproof, but it's not like I'm going to go swimming with my phone, or, you know, I'm going to go run out in a rain storm with it just because they say it's waterproof. To me, it's more just about avoiding accidents, or if you do have an accident, maybe you don't destroy your phone.
Maybe more of a splash proofing than actually calling it waterproofing, or water resistance more than waterproofing.
Yeah, don't call it autopilot.
Seal up the edges a little bit more. Maybe that's one reason they took the headphone jack off, just to get one more little place to keep the water out, because, you know, you've got metal contacts right there inside of that jack, whereas you can have the speaker holes on the bottom without necessarily having them open, because you could just put a film over the speaker and it still vibrates and wouldn't hinder the sound, but still be more waterproof or water resistant than, say, a headphone jack with metal contacts in it.
That's a great point as far as those two things going together. Maybe that's just like I was saying, hey, give us a reason why you did this. That could be their exact reason is, hey, we wanted to better waterproof the phone, so we took away the headphone jack because it's really hard to protect that port as far as waterproofing. So without it there, it made it easier for us to do that and some other things. But that's just, you know, one of the benefits is better waterproofing. Good point.
I do catch myself washing dishes or cooking or something. My hands, they do get wet, you know, and you go to pick up your phone and I feel like, oh no, you know, I need to grab a towel first, and then you've missed the call if it rings or something because you were drying your hands off to save your phone. Not that anyone's calling, oh, someone's pregnant or someone's dying, but that it could be not necessarily life or death, but you hate to miss that call if you can really realistically pick up the phone.
No, I totally agree with you there. Last couple of things on the phone. We talked about the speakers. Some have said that we're going to get multiple cameras on at least the Plus model because it's bigger. I tend to believe that. That's one of those things that's probably going to happen. I've heard it enough that, it helps to differentiate the Plus a little bit. It's, you know, that phone costs like $100 more. If they added a second lens and made the Plus a better camera, is that something that would convince you to get the bigger phone, or is the bigger phone still just not something you would do because of the size, whether it had a better camera or not?
The size is still a prohibitive issue for me. I've never really been a fan of the phablet size phones. And that's, even though you're really just talking about maybe another 3/4 of an inch of screen space, it just makes the phone seem so much bigger.
Right. No, I completely agree. And that's a great segue talking about the phablets into the story that just broke today about the Samsung Galaxy Note 7s. They're doing a massive recall worldwide on all the Note 7s because they found a problem with the battery and the phones are catching fire. And so they're recalling like 2.5 million Galaxy Note 7s that have already been sold worldwide. That just seems crazy that they're having to do that. Big, big, big problems. Embarrassing setback for Samsung.
So when you say they've been sold from Samsung to, say, providers. They haven't made it to consumers' hands yet? Or Samsung is telling consumers, send us the phone back?
Samsung is telling consumers to send the phone back. It's literally hit consumers' hands. And the story I read, which you can check in the show notes, says that Samsung is giving the users a $25 gift card or bill credit for their inconvenience, but that they're recalling the phone and halting sales in 10 countries of this brand new phone that was just released, probably a couple of weeks ago. I guess they've had enough fires now that they've decided to completely pull the phone. And you've got to wonder how many of these are actually, you know, never going to send back in. You know, if you've got your phone and it's your only phone, how do you even handle that when you're Samsung? With Apple, it seems like it would be easier because they tend to work closer with the phone companies as far as, you know, the tie-in between Apple and them, where Samsung is kind of more hands-off with, you know, they have the phones and Verizon can do what they want and AT&T can do what they want to the phones, and then they sell them, you know, with their own stuff on it. So there's kind of a disconnect there. So I just think this is going to be a nightmare for Samsung, and it's definitely a nightmare for any person who has actually upgraded to a Note 7 here recently.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to deal with that, just being without my phone. I realize it's going to be a problem for Samsung, but just me, myself, just being without a phone would be really hard. I remember in times past, I've always kept an extra phone without a SIM card in it, just in case, you know, and I keep this old Nokia E61. I mean, I probably couldn't even reactivate it on the AT&T network. Now, especially now that all the SIM cards are, you know, smaller than your fingernail, whereas they used to be, you know, the size of your thumbnail, that would be really hard. I can see just in an instance where, you know, climate change changes because they're burning so much petroleum to get on these cargo ships to send all these phones back to South Korea.
I just saw that this afternoon, and we started talking about the phablets there, and that reminded me to bring that up. So yeah, so if you've ever wanted to switch to Apple,
now is the time.
And you're a Samsung and you're a Samsung Note 7 user, maybe now is the time, and you want to give give an iPhone a shot if you're an Android out there.
We're the good guys. The Apple guys are the good guys.
Yeah, all you Apple haters, come to the dark side. We have cookies. Actually, we're probably not the dark side, though, are we? No, probably not. So let's talk about something a little less depressing than the Samsung phones. Let's talk about a crazy kind of business proposition or, you know, business thing that just came up. So Papa John's has actually released an app for Apple TV where you can order from the TV. You can actually talk with the app to try to decide what kind of pizza you want. You can split halves. You can do all kind of neat little things with the Apple TV app talking to the Siri remote. And I haven't actually ordered a pizza with it yet, but this seems kind of neat. You know, it's I don't think it's something that you would, you know, it's definitely not something that we have to have, but it's kind of a neat little touch. I mean, is that something that you think you and your family would use on your Apple TV?
I think we would. I think I also think it's a natural progression. I mean, we're already going from, you know, 25 years ago, you would call Domino's or Papa John's and order your pizza over the phone instead of 60 years ago, going to the quote pizzeria and ordering a pizza pie and a pitcher of beer. I just think it's a natural progression, but I really do think that we would use it. There's been a few places I've seen where you could order a Domino's pizza, I guess from the Amazon Echo. You just ask Alexa to order you a pizza. And there's been some other places where they've got it built in, maybe the Roku, and you have pre-built orders. So it already has an order profile. So if you wanted a pepperoni and a cheese pizza, you would order it, but it doesn't have any sort of dynamic capability to it. And what you were talking about where you could have, you know, go in and actually sort of cafeteria style or ad hoc style, just order as you go and make changes. What I was wondering is if you were going to have a party, if you order on Papa John's website, they have a pay share type thing where if you've got six guys hanging around watching football, each guy can put in his own payment information for each one, whether you do it on the app or on the website. I was wondering if you could do the same thing in the app, Apple TV app, I mean.
Personally, I don't know how much it costs to develop this app. It couldn't have been a whole lot of money. And for the sheer press that they've gotten around the internet, you know, Twitter and Facebook and things about this app being out there, it seems like it paid for itself just in advertisements. And if they get some extra orders because of the novelty of, hey, you know, the kids are like, hey, we want pizza tonight. Let's do it through the Apple TV app. You know, I mean, not that kids don't ask for pizza every night, but
there's some whiz bang to it that would impress the kids.
Right. I mean, you know, it's just, hey, let's use the app and order pizza. You know, it's almost, instead of just saying, hey, let's order pizza, they actually have another reason to want pizza is, hey, let's go play with the app and order the pizza. You know, I think it's a great move by Papa John's. Like I said, it just seems like the press alone that they've gotten from the app is, you know, probably, if it didn't pay for the app, you know, the application's development, then
cover the cost. Yeah.
The press plus just the novelty orders themselves definitely have covered what the app has cost. And I think this is just going to be the first one. I mean, because of this one hit, I mean, because of the novelty, they got a bunch of press out of it. So it helped pay for it. But I can definitely see, you know, places like Jimmy John's or, you know, definitely Domino's will come in here really quick. You know, how long is it going to take to get a Domino's app on the Apple TV? Probably not long, is my guess. But, you know, some place like Jimmy John's or Subway, places like that that, you know, do a lot of call-in orders. Things like, you know, Uber Eats or, you know, the Favor and the food delivery services, that would work great on an Apple TV because you're on the bigger screen where you can browse menus for places. So I can definitely see that being somewhere that, you know, that we're going to be. And I got to think that Apple's very pleased also just seeing apps like that come out for Apple TV because it seems like we haven't had a lot of novelty apps for Apple TV like we've had for iPhone or iPad that, you know, they come along and it's like, oh, wow, you know, nobody ever thought to do that, but it makes perfect sense. It works great on the iPhone or works great on the iPad. This is one of those kind of apps where nobody really thought to do it. And now that it's been done, it's going to be copied, you know, 100 times over.
Now, if just the Vietnamese noodle soup pho place around the corner would just get on board, I could have pho at home every night.
Get your pho off your Apple TV. Look at there.
So we see Instagram is sort of copying Snapchat, and they're trying to differentiate themselves in a way, but they want you to use their app instead of the Snapchat app to post stories or do the 10-second content. What do you think about that?
I use the apps in totally different ways. The Instagram app, when they released this story feature, I haven't used it yet. I post pictures to Instagram. I take pictures while I'm walking of skylines or, you know, the clouds or my food or my dogs. And that's what I post to Instagram, and they're there. And a lot of times when I post to Instagram, I share to Twitter or Facebook or both when I post the picture. That's kind of the purpose of my Instagram. Snapchat, I have a specific set of friends that I talk to on Snapchat. It's different than even Twitter. It's a lot of folks on Snapchat that aren't on Twitter. And I send, you know, when I go out places, you know, go out to, you know, concerts and dance clubs and, you know, sporting events and things like that, that's when I end up using Snap to send quick videos or quick snaps to people. And I'll post to my story, or sometimes I'll just send to specific people. But I really, I mean, the apps to me, there's not a whole lot of crossover. Even though they're both taking pictures and they're both sharing, there's not a lot of crossover for me between the two. So, I mean, I guess Instagram's just trying to capture some of that market share back from Snapchat that they've stole away, especially from probably the younger generations. But for me, they're different. I mean, have you used the story feature on Instagram at all?
I haven't used it, but I have used the video capture part of it but that's been around for a long, long time. The video where you sort of do a selfie video, sort of like you would with Snapchat, and you say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I'm not sure if there's a 10-second limit or 10-second lifetime on the video as far as it is with Snapchat, but it's sort of not necessary, I guess, to have that overlap. I use Snapchat sort of like a CB radio, or, you know, to where I talk and then you talk. So I may, you know, talk into the screen and say, hey, what are you doing? Look what I'm doing right now. And then they turn around and say the same thing back, and I may not talk to them again for 2 days.
No, I that's a very, very good analogy. That's I wouldn't say exactly how I use Snapchat, but I've definitely used it like that before, where with Instagram, it's kind of just you post it out there and it's there for everybody to see, you know, and they can make a comment on it, which, at least as far as my Instagram goes, I don't get a lot of comments. You know, I get a lot of the likes, you know, that people are just going to default like, and that's it. Whereas Snapchat, if it's not posted to my story, if I'm actually sending somebody a quick video or picture with Snapchat, you're right, I'm expecting a reply back from them, you know, that's like, oh, you know, how that's really cute of the dog, you know, what are you up to today, you know, or you know, hey, that's an awesome show, or, you know, what are you doing, you know, things like that, where when I send a snap,
almost like you're texting.
Right. It's almost like you're texting with the photo or video. So, yeah, that's a very good analogy of the different use cases, at least for myself and I guess you as well, between Insta and Snapchat. And then I think that's where Snapchat has really excelled and made its feature set, you know, worthwhile, trying to differentiate itself between, you know, the Facebooks and the Twitters of the world that were already very big when Snapchat came along. And Snapchat has grown like crazy. I follow a couple of celebrities on there, not many, some other, you know, friends and stuff, a couple of friends from work that I have on there that I don't have, you know, on any other social platform. I just think Snapchat has done a good job of differentiating itself, and Insta's trying to kind of catch up itself. I mean, Insta was always the kind of the little darling. They came in behind Facebook and Twitter and really grew, and I think they've flew by Twitter as far as the number of active monthly users. I mean, they're owned by Facebook now, you know, and so they were kind of the darling for a long time, and then here comes Snapchat out of nowhere. And now Instagram is, for the first time, I think, in their lifetime, trying to play catch up with another social app that has features that they don't have.
I always thought Instagram was a good acquisition for Facebook, simply because the way the media moves, the way the posts arrive on your phone or device, sort of like they do on Facebook, it's sort of like a feed, and it's less one-on-one, where it's, you know, you have that wide audience where you're showing everyone that you're friends with this, you know, this is what I'm doing, this is my dog, this is what I'm eating. And Snapchat is, like you and I both have already said, it's very one-on-one, it's more personal, and it's just so different. And I just don't see Instagram really being able to capture the crowd. I do see a lot of people popping up on the story mode, but it's mostly celebrities and businesses. And I don't know if maybe Instagram may be trying to pay these folks to try to do this stuff. It's probably probably not true, but it just feels that way. They feel very polished.
No, that's a good point. So think about when Instagram first came out, one of the big things was the photo filters. You know, hey, you could use all these different filters to make your photos look different or better, you know, things like that. Snapchat took that to the next level with the selfie filter feature in Snapchat, where you can make yourself, I think that the dog one's probably the most famous one now, but you know, the face switching and the dog, and then they've got this...
The voice changer built in.
Yeah, the voice changer. You know, they've taken that filter concept and souped it up, you know, to something even better with the selfie feature, where you can, you know, change yourself. And the other day I did one where I was like Harry Potter. I mean, you know, woo, that was, you just do stupid stuff like that and send it to people. And again, when you do that, it's almost like you're expecting them to send you one back, where, you know, they're looking like an idiot too with this selfie feature. And the other thing, and to bring this up, but one of the other big differences between Instagram and Snapchat is Instagram has a fairly strict content policy about what can be posted to Instagram.
Oh yeah, no nudity.
They will kick you off very quick for just a nipple. So, you know, they police it. I think, you know, it's probably more so than in any other social app. I don't know how much policing you would have to do with Facebook, because of the nature of, you know, friends, and not a whole lot of it is public. Twitter doesn't really filter anything unless you tell it to for you. Instagram actively polices photos, and if you post some they don't like, they'll warn you or they'll delete your account. I've followed a couple of suicide girls that have had accounts deleted for, you know, what they deemed appropriate.
A little too risque.
Right, that Instagram said, no, we didn't like it, and they warned them, and then they ended up deleting their accounts. Whereas with Snapchat, I think we all know that it's kind of wide open. So you can do whatever you want on Snapchat. I've seen some things on Snapchat that I don't want to see again. So yeah, I mean, just that's a big difference between the use cases of the two apps. And they're both great. I think Instagram's great at what it does. Snapchat's great at what it does. I guess, you know, if they try the feature wars of, you know, one adding this and the other one adding this, you know, it's just good for us users.
Definitely. That's another thing that I wanted to bring up with this new ESPN fantasy sports app. I know you do fantasy sports a lot more than I do. I probably am on maybe two football leagues every year, but I know you pretty much do fantasy year round. What do you think about the new app?
So yeah, so this was something I added to the rundown, to the show notes, because I am a big fantasy player, mostly all on ESPN. They're not paying us. So I play baseball, and I'm in four leagues, I think, this year for baseball. Just two for football this year, which is kind of low for me, but I've kind of trimmed back the last couple of years, and so just two. But also play a lot of the other little ESPN mini games, where they have pick'ems for pro football and pick'ems for college football, and the streak games. And so last month, after, you know, it's one of those finally moments that we like to talk about so much, ESPN's apps have always been separate. So you had a fantasy baseball app, and you had a fantasy football app, and you had a fantasy basketball app, and all these other apps. And so here around the first middle of August, they released the ESPN fantasy app to not much fanfare. I think I actually saw it on Twitter that it was released, and went and got it. And it's all of the games are in one app. So you can go and check on your baseball team and your football team and all the other games that are there. You know, you can do all of that inside one app. I think, you know, they've done a good job on it. I haven't seen any issues with it. It seems to me that the baseball in that app is as good as what was in the baseball app, and same with football. So far, I haven't done a lot with the football in the app besides just looking at the team I drafted last week and doing some drop ad for some hurt players this week before the season starts next week. But, you know, I just think that's smart on ESPN's part to kind of consolidate into one app. It probably is better for advertising purposes, for, you know, for face count. I mean, I know they're going to advertise to me in there. I play for free on their site, so I kind of expect them to do something to monetize, you know, that process. So yeah, you know, I know we have a very skewed, nerdy listenership here that maybe aren't as into fantasy sports as I am. But I thought it was, you know, it's something good to bring up. You know, it's a new app that you may not have seen. It was out there yet. But if you're a fantasy player and you play on ESPN, definitely check out the new combined fantasy sports app that they released. I think you'll like it, and you'll only have one place to go on your phone, at least for the month of September. Instead of having to check a baseball and a football app, you only have one app to check in on for September.
That's pretty cool stuff. I do the college football pick'ems too, so that's cool that you would do the pick'ems and the and your fantasy lineup in the same app, you know, every week.
And if I remember correctly, and I get the information to Brian, we'll put a couple of links for some of our pick'em groups in the show notes, that if anybody wants to join in and play on the NFL or college pick'em with myself and Brad and a bunch of other friends of ours, you're more than welcome to join us for those. And so we'll try to get those into the show notes.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So I think that's about all I had for this week, Brad. I think we did pretty good without Brian. I think we covered some good information. Real excited for next week's show. I think we're going to record special on... Is it Wednesday night, Tuesday night? When is the night of the...
The night of the announcement.
Right, the night of the day of the iPhone 7 announcement. So the 7th, so that's Wednesday. So next Wednesday night, we're going to record special on the day of the 7 introduction. Talk about everything we've seen that day. I'm pretty sure it's just going to be phones. We're not expecting MacBook announcements yet or new iPad announcements, although they might talk about a new iPad Pro or something like that. But I think we're mostly looking for iPhone 7. But yeah, we're going to record special next Wednesday night. So that's coming down the line, and we'll have all three of us back on the headphones for that one. Anything else from you this week, Brad?
I think that's it, man. Actually, now that we talked about pho, I think I'm going to go get some pho. So I hope you have a good Labor Day weekend, man. And I will talk to you next week after the announcement.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you then.
Good night.